This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now. Welcome back to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We're your hosts, James and Maria Collins. And today we've got an episode about disciplining your children with guidance and grace.
Yes. Have you ever experienced being outside of your home, like a grocery store or a public place, and your children is pitching the biggest fit and you don't quite know what to do? Yes, we all have been there. And today we're going to talk about the different ways that we can guide and discipline our kids and lead by example and help them to know how to deal with their emotions and the situations and avoid those situations as much as possible. But we have been there. Today, our kids are a lot better. And what we do is say, start count to three, and they will straighten up because they know if they don't, that will be a big consequence coming against them.
Yeah. Yeah. Discipline is such a critical part of parenting. And there's some controversy with discipline, and we'll get into some of those controversies in a little bit, but there's really no substitute to consistent discipline for children. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." And that's a picture of discipline for children. Discipline really being an intentional focus on teaching children. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today is where we focus our discipline on teaching a lesson through the discipline and helping our children make good decisions and understand consequences of their actions and their behavior and adhere to, first and foremost, our family rules, but then more broadly to rules in society and cultural norms as well. Again, so we'll talk about effective discipline consisting of being clear, being compassionate, being consistent, having predefined consequences for behavior.
I think what the key word here is consistency, right? It takes a lot of work to parent, and it's amazing, but you got to be consistent in that sometimes when you're tired, when you had a long day, when you're dealing with so much in your life, those emotions can get on the way, and the way you discipline your kid might be different. That's why it's so important to have creating that consistency and having the predetermined consequences, and also giving your kids the expectation. This is what we expect. Kids, they thrive with routine and boundaries. So then you're giving them the space to make their own choices. And by making those choices, they will have consequences. And this is a lesson for their whole life. We make choices all the time. And there's also always consequences.
Good or bad.
Exactly.
Consequences are always negative.
And so creating those boundaries where they can be within the lines, and if they do pass the lines, right? So they are testing it out. What can they or can they not do it? So that's why you're allowing them to experience the real life, but you're the parent and you're guiding them through those experiences.
Yeah, and when you're intentional as a parent and teaching your children discipline, what that does is, like the proverb talks about, it teaches them how to discipline themselves so that when they grow up, they'll have that inherent or built-in discipline for themselves. And there's so many benefits to living a disciplined life. And there are studies that show that disciplined children are more likely to develop emotional regulation. They're more likely to achieve success academically and professionally as adults. Discipline in one area of life often leads to discipline in other areas of life. So when you can teach your children discipline, we talked about this when we talked about our discipline episode early on in the podcast, talking in the context of disciplining ourselves, but the same holds true for discipline with our children. And that's some of the value behind being intentional about how you discipline and being consistent in disciplining your children. I know I probably use that word intentional more than any other word in this podcast, and that's on purpose. Like, this is about living purposeful, intentional lives. And I think a lot of times as parents where we struggle in being consistent in administering discipline for our children is because we're either preoccupied in the moment or we're distracted in the moment. And sometimes we choose convenience over consistency when it comes to discipline. And that can be a detriment to our children and the discipline that they're learning, but also it can be a detriment to us as parents in not truly leading our children down the path that we want them to go.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that, you know, the Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." And there is another one. There is Proverbs 19:18. "Discipline your son while there's hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of his death." God teaches us that we have the responsibility to teach, to guide, and to discipline our kids. And we can do it in a loving, respecting, and caring way.
Yeah, don't be the cause of his death. Those are such powerful words.
The loss of their soul. In the context of
being a parent and disciplining your children. I mean, just think of the state of the world today. Mm-hmm. And I look at the younger generations right now, you know, the Gen Zs of the world. And more than anything, I feel like they've lacked discipline and lacked awareness and proper vision for their lives. And I have to say it, that's on the parents.
Yes.
That's on the parents. That is generations now of parenting that has said, you know, let your children be who they are. Let your children do what they're going to do. Let your children make their own decisions for themselves. And that just doesn't work. Children are children. They're not fully developed. They don't have the foresight. They don't have the knowledge and understanding. They don't have the wisdom to make sound choices for themselves. And we as their parents are responsible for helping shape and mold that for them. And it's honestly a lazy way of parenting. And it's a cop-out for parents to say, oh, well, you know, I'm letting Johnny be who Johnny is. You know, I'm letting him do what he does. I'm going to let him be, you know, however he feels he needs to express himself. I'm going to allow room for that. You've got to set parameters,
and exactly,
you've got to be clear about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable from a behavioral standpoint.
And a good example of that in our house, in our kids, they're different kids. and they are unique, right? God made them unique. Me, as a mom, I had to learn this to allow them to be who they are, use their gifts in the right direction. So, for example, Zoe, she is all artistic. I mentioned here before, she likes to wear all the colors. She's, you know, very social, and she has her style and all of that. So I had to learn to allow her, again, putting the walls, right, the limits for her. You're allowed to be yourself and do this, but there is a line that we're not going to cross.
Yeah, within the parameters of our family values, of our moral system.
Exactly. The Bible, we always bring the Bible in and the principles that the Bible teaches. And that's why this is the line. And we stay within the line because we follow the commandments of God. And for example, Noah, it's a boy and he's totally different. He's strong, right? I grew up surrounded by girls. So having you to help me understand boys, it helped me a lot. Because at the beginning, I tried to protect him, not allowing him to play. Like, this is too dangerous. Don't get dirty. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I had to learn to give him the space within the lines for him to make his own choices and be the boy and, you know, the adventurous boy that God created him to be. Mm-hmm. And me trusting God for the protection of him.
Yeah, and there is safety and predictability in setting those boundaries and being consistent in disciplining your children. So you can promote safety and predictability through discipline with your children. But like you're saying, it's okay to allow space for your children to be who they are, but there needs to be clear boundaries and there needs to be consistent discipline and holding them accountable to the values that we carry as a family. And I think that's where a lot of folks miss the mark, is they're not real clear on their values, or even if they're clear on their values, they're not very consistent in administering discipline and holding their children accountable to those values.
Also, make sure you're living out your values, right? Kids are watching you all times. So if you're telling them to do something, but you don't do the thing yourself, it's not going to work, right? We teach our kids our values and they come back at us all the time. So if you're not showing by example, you can preach all day. You can tell them all day to do things. They will not do it. And if they're doing it, they're doing it because they have fear of you or the consequences or whatever it works in your house. But the importance of discipline in children, right? It helps them then thrive because you're guiding, you give them, it helps them to be social out there.
Yeah, that's a big piece. Like, one of the major breakdowns from my own perspective, this is just my philosophy on things, but one of the main breakdowns in our society today is we have a culture that's being developed that is very self-centered. Mm-hmm. It's very much about me, me, me. And you see that a lot with the younger generations. And what discipline will do, what consistent discipline for children does, is it teaches them self-control.
That's good.
But more importantly, it teaches them empathy and respect for other people.
Yeah.
And at least when administered against a set of core values that include those things, like, you know, honoring other people like our values do.
Or in social environment. For example, yesterday we were teaching at the kindergarten class at church, and we were playing the musical chairs. And then there was this boy that could not take losing it. He was pitching a fit, he was crying, throwing things, and we're like, this behavior is not accepted in this class. We were playing a game, and at the beginning we were very clear at explaining how it works, and they're all 5-6 year olds. And then the second time we played, we were more specific of this behavior is not accepted. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to play. You're going to have a chance to win or to lose. It's going to happen because this is a game. And we're going to be happy for our friends. They're still playing. And we're going to cheer them up.
But the consequence of acting in a way that is outside of what we expect means you don't get to continue playing the game.
Exactly. And that it's important because if you're teaching your kids in your environment that it's not about them, they don't get it. Like we have two kids. They understand that they are different. They are a boy and they're a girl. And there's different celebrations that one, for example, birthdays. It's Zoe's birthday. It's all about Zoe. We're going to celebrate Zoe. We're going to honor Zoe. And that's what we do. Noah, you need to understand you don't get gifts. The party is not about you. That it's not about you. When it's your birthday, it's going to be all about you. And when we're playing games, we play games all the time as a family, and you lose, it's okay. There's always going to be the winner and the loser in the game. Like that's how it works. There's no other way. But you got to understand that if you lose it, how have you had fun during that game?
You need to learn how to lose and win gracefully.
Exactly. And learn a lesson from it and then do different next time.
I'll bring in one more scripture from the Bible in Hebrews 12:11. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And that's what we're seeking out for our children, is that peaceful harvest of right living through discipline.
And I want to go a step deeper here, because this verse applies for everybody. And if you as a parent, how do you take discipline? How do you take discipline from God? How do you take discipline from a wise voice in your life? How do you take discipline from your boss or for partners or for whoever you work with? How do you take feedback? How do you process that? Because the same way you do that, guess what? Your kids are doing it too, because they can see it.
Yeah, and the thing that sticks out to me in that verse as well is the pain of discipline as a parent. It's not just painful for the children. Oftentimes, it's painful for us. It takes time and effort to be consistent and effectively disciplining our kids. So there's going to be pain experienced both for the child and for us as a parent. But again, we've got that promise of a peaceful harvest of right living if we do it right.
Yeah, that's really good.
So let's get into some of the different tactics for disciplining. And this is where I think some of the controversy comes in. And we're going to call the elephant in the room out from the very beginning. There's a debate that has been going on for a long time about corporal punishment or physical punishment for children as a form of discipline versus alternative methods. And I'm just going to say this from the beginning. The Bible has many different references, including Proverbs 23:13-14 that says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol or from hell. I mean, that's a powerful verse that seems to advocate for corporal punishment, but also I think it advocates for corporal punishment done in the right way. So I'm not going to stand here and say that corporal punishment or physical punishment, if done in the right way and done sparingly, isn't an effective way to discipline your children. What we're going to talk about today, though, is how we have disciplined our children, and we decided together in the very beginning that we were not going to physically punish our children for multiple reasons. I was physically punished as a child. I think you were as well.
Yes.
And there's, you know, I don't hold any grudges for that, for my parents. I know what kind of child I was and what kind of child my brothers were, and I don't blame my parents at all for the decisions that they made for how to discipline us. But as I thought about it more as an adult and preparing to become a parent, we've talked about before, right before we had Zoe, I was taking an early childhood development class. And one of the things that I learned through that class is that there's research that says that physical punishment for children has negative psychological impacts. And so that really stuck with me. But then, you know, as I think through, and one example for Noah, I think he was 3 or 4, we went through this phase with him where he was hitting a lot. And I think a lot of kids, especially boys, go through that phase where they're not capable of communicating effectively verbally. And so they take their frustrations out physically on friends or relatives. And we had a problem with Noah hitting his sister, or we got reports from school that he was, you know, being physical with friends at school. And, you know, I think about what message does that send to a child if I hit my child to teach him not to hit others?
That's a mixed message. Like, they can understand. You're hitting them, and then you tell them, I'm hitting you because you hit other people, but you can't hit.
Right.
But then you just hit them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one example, but it's things like that for us that have led us down a different mm-hmm. path when it comes to how we're going to administer discipline.
But that was a confirmation for our decision that it was taking place maybe 5 years prior before Zoe, or when Zoe was little, and we made the decision together that we wouldn't use that. And we had research, we researched it, we read books, we read a lot about the brain and then how to help them, right, when they were pitching a fit and all of that, what's happening in the brain and what is the best way for you to deal with the situation right there, and how to have the consequences. But again, like you said, we created our expectations. They know what they expected, the behavior that is expected. They know our core values, and they know what's going to happen if they don't act that way. Mm-hmm. So then when we are in a situation and they start acting up or not acting the way they're supposed to, all we have to do is count to 3 and they will stop. Sometimes they don't, because they're kids and they're pushing the boundaries.
And there are consequences.
And then we just reinforce, and then we apply the consequences. Again, we are consistent with those consequences. So then it's just reaffirming to them, if you keep making those choices, you're going to keep experiencing those consequences.
Yep. And those consequences, we'll talk about some alternatives to spanking. But if the consequence that you've chosen for yourself is to spank your children, we're not admonishing that. That's a choice that you're free to make as a parent. We're just saying that that's a choice that we've decided against for ourselves. And again, we'll link to, I think, one article that highlights some of this, but there is research that shows that spanking can lead to increased aggression and antisocial behavior for children. And so, again, just one of the many things that we've considered in making that decision for ourselves. But the other thing that I like to focus on, obviously, is the Word of God. And in Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Again, so from my perspective, growing up being physically disciplined consistently as a child, it was a source of anger at times for me. It was a source of division between me and my dad specifically, because my dad was the primary disciplinarian in the house. And it was a source of anger and division between me and my father at times growing up. Now, I love my dad. We have a strong relationship today. And again, I don't blame him for the choices that he made or the actions that he took. I am who I am because of who he is and how he raised me and disciplined me and taught me through that. But I know for myself too that there was some animosity because of some of the physical punishment that I received as a child. And I wanted something different for my children. And I wanted to foster an environment for my kids and a relationship with my kids that was rooted first and foremost in love and an expression of love, even through discipline and punishment.
It's important to understand your kid. It's important to understand your kid's love language and utilize that into the discipline as well. Mm. So then you know how they are receiving, because sometimes, and most of the times, if they're young, they're like testing the boundaries. So other times you're trying, some kids are just trying to get your attention. So their behavior has deeper things that you might need to spend some time with them, to talk to them, ask some questions, to try to understand what are they going through? How can you discipline them? And how can you support and be the guidance and be the coach and be the parent that's driving them to the right direction instead of just discipline the behavior? The behavior is most of the times not the root cause. There's something else in more deeply that they are looking to achieve by behaving that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so communicating with your kids and, you know, getting to that depth of understanding of what's the root cause behind the behavior is really important. I saw as you were talking, it reminded me of an Instagram reel that I watched this week of a father who his daughter had been kicked off of the school bus for bullying another child. And she came to him and gave him a note that basically explained why she wasn't allowed back on the bus. And she told her dad, "You're going to have to drive me to school." And the video was him driving behind her as she's walking to school. And he said it's a 5-mile trek from their house to her school. And it was 37 or 38 degrees outside.
And she was...
So there she is, bundled up with her backpack, walking the 5 miles it takes to go to school. And that's, like, I think about that. That's physical punishment.
Absolutely. Because
without spanking, right?
Yeah. She had the privilege to ride the bus, and she didn't take advantage of that privilege. That's another thing. You got to teach your kids. That's a privilege. Mm. Somebody else is riding you to school. How blessed are you to have that opportunity and have those friends around you? So the way you treat all of that, it's you choosing to accept that blessing or you choosing to walk yourself 5 miles to school.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good segue into some of the tactics that we've used for administering discipline or punishment for our children. And again, the key is to start by clearly outlining for your children what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and communicating in advance what the consequences will be for not adhering to whatever rules that you've put in place. But there should be a balance too with discipline, in that you're rewarding positive behaviors as well as punishing negative behaviors or behaviors that are outside of what you expect.
That is so key, and that's so important, that reinforcing the positive behavior, right? Because then you're calling them out to do more of that. Because all your kid wants is you to be proud of them. Mm-hmm. That's all they want, you to love them. They want your attention, and they want you to be proud of them. So the more you call out those good actions, those good behaviors, and speak light into that, more you're going to see, right? Remember, everything you focus on will flourish. If you're focusing on the bad behaviors, guess what? That's going to bring more of that in your kid's life. In focusing on the positive, it's...
And here's how that works. Kids, more than anything, because their brains aren't developed enough for them to really understand what the root desire is for them. The root desire is they want love and affection from their parents. Yeah. But that manifests itself in the form of, I just need attention from my parents. And so if the only attention you're giving them is negative attention coming down on them when they're not adhering to the rules or expectations that you've set for them, they're going to continue to do the things you don't want them to do, because that's the only way they're getting attention that they're craving from you. So that's, again, why it's so important to balance praise and reward for the right behaviors as well as punishment for the wrong behaviors, because then the kids really start to understand better in their own minds, I don't want this kind of attention from my parents. I desire this positive, reward-centered attention from my parents. And so that's going to drive more of those types of behaviors.
Yeah, that's so good. And communication, right? Like communicating to them being very clear of, I love when you do this, but just spend time with them. Spend time one-on-one with your children. Like, separate, because they are not all the same. They all need different attention. They all need to spend time with each parent individually. Mm-hmm. And it is so cool and it's so amazing. Every day we have dinner together. And right after school, I always ask Zoe, how was your day? And she'll say, good. And I was like, but I need more. I want to know more. I haven't seen you for all hours. What was good about it? And she'll give me some things here and there. And then, you know, the day goes about, because I know at dinner time, when daddy's on the table, a lot more comes out of her mouth. But not even just because daddy's on the table, because there's other times that at dinner time, she will remember things, because that's her family time. We created this environment for them to express themselves, for them to talk to us, for them to tell us about things that happen throughout the day. And then she will bring up things that happen at school, happy things, things that she learned, that she experienced, and sometimes some challenges that she had as well.
And we talk about those things as she brings up stories. Yes. From the day. We'll talk about those in the context of our values. Mm-hmm. Because our values stand as a shared language, a shared vocabulary for us to communicate and translate behaviors and things that happen to us throughout the day, or decisions that we make for our lives, to the values that we carry as a family and as mm-hmm. people. And that's a very easy way for us to connect that for our children in their own minds, by helping every day as she's telling us what happened in her day and how she responded to different situations throughout her day. We can relate almost every one of those back to one of our five core values as a family, and show her and demonstrate for her how she either lived out that value or fell short of a value, and help her understand how she can make different decisions in the future to adhere to the value.
Yeah, that's good. Another thing is setting clear expectations and boundaries. And that go with communication too. We were just talking about clear communication. So making sure you guys have that clear, parents, you sat down together, you have put together what are your expectations, and then you communicate those expectations to your children. It's very important for them to know that mommy and daddy are a team. We are one. There's no daddy saying yes and mommy saying no to something. We are all the same person. Like, we make the decisions together and then we communicate to them, right? And then to go on, you know, the next step with the expectations, many, many times, and I have done this with my kids since they were really little. Every time we're going somewhere, I will, on the way there in the car, I remind them the expectations. We're going to somebody else's house. We respect their house. We don't make a mess. We'll clean up when we leave. We play nicely. We're kind. All of those things, we say please and thank you. I would communicate on the way there and have them very clear, tell me back, what did I just tell them? So then they know how they need to behave somewhere else. And every time, at birthday parties, someone else's houses, public places, I always communicate in the expectations. When we say it's time to go home, we're not going to cry and scream. It's that comes the consistency mm-hmm. at the beginning, right? They were learning, so they will act up. Many times when we'd say, let's go home, when Zoe was very little, she would, you know, cry and do all the things. Sometimes I had to grab her and take her to the car. And then we communicated again on the way back home. When mommy said, it's time to go home, and you cry and scream, that was not okay. This is not how we behave, right? So then a consequence would come with that. And that creating that consistency, it helped them to have that the boundaries and the expectation clear. Remember, they're kids if they're young. Our kids are still young. So remember, their memory, their short span of memory. So you got to be consistent and remind them over and over again. And again, like spanking, you get faster response. The type of parenting we chose it takes a lot more work. It takes a lot more energy. It takes a lot more us talking and communicating the same thing over and over again. But that's the way we chose, and we have seen the fruits in our children.
Yeah, and another reason that we chose not to spank is we never wanted to discipline out of anger. I think that's such an important aspect of this to talk about, is having self-control as a parent, not to react out of anger to discipline your children. And I knew for myself, because anger honestly is something that I've had to deal with and find self-control in for myself. And I'm much better now than I used to be, but I still have moments where I let my anger get the best of me. And especially with my kids, when, you know, I'm focused on something else and the kids are just misbehaving or, you know, doing something they know they're not supposed to be doing, that requires me to stop and shift my focus to disciplining them in the moment. I knew for myself that if I allowed corporal punishment to be an option for me, it was bound to lead to moments of me acting out of anger toward my children, which I never wanted to do. And I think that's an important lesson that I think every parent needs to understand and learn, is that when you discipline your children, specifically in the context of constructive consequences for your children, it's got to be done for a purpose. Discipline and punishment needs to be done with purpose. There needs to be a lesson behind the discipline. There needs to be a lesson behind the punishment. If it's just you taking your anger out on your kids, and again, that's where, when I talked about the animosity that physical punishment caused between me and my dad, oftentimes that came out of my dad responding out of anger, mm-hmm. and me getting hit based on his anger and him taking his anger out on me and my brothers, rather than there being a clear lesson behind that discipline.
Yeah. And when you're saying about the constructive consequences, right now we have Zoe, she's 8, and she is, a lot of times she focuses on the negatives and she's just complaining. What I start doing it is saying, Zoe, it's time for you to go to your room and think about it. Think about all the negatives that you're choosing, and then think about things to be grateful for and how can you find the good in this situation. And she's so upset. She will pound and go to her room, and then I'll give her some time and I'll come up and then I'll sit down. Eye level, right? Remember, when you're talking to your kid, there's respect and you're in their level. And I sit with her and I ask her, what did you think about? And then she will tell me that I was focusing on this, and this, and those are not the good. I was like, okay, and what is the good in this situation? And she will find the good, and then she'll tell me. And then we go back, said, okay, are you ready to choose to be grateful? Are you ready to choose to be happy and come with us? And she says, yes. So it's important to understand your kid, and they need to process their things as well. So what we're trying to do is teach and get our kids the tools for them to deal with emotions, with life, with things when they don't go on their way, and how to be emotionally healthy throughout the process. But also what we do, right, we live by the Bible principles. Sometimes there is a consequence from a behavior, and we choose to show them grace. We choose and we teach them, God give us grace, which is something we don't deserve, mm-hmm. but he's graceful because he loves us. So we told you, we couldn't play with your tablet today, this afternoon, but we're going to give you grace because God is graceful and you're going to be able to have your tablet. But we don't just do that. Like, they switch their behavior, right? They are not acting up. And then we choose in certain times to give them that grace, to teach them that if you go to God, if you ask for forgiveness, you turn away from it, you don't act that way, God forgives you. He has grace and he loves you And he always knows you're going to make a mistake. And we are parents and we know our kids are going to make mistakes because they're learning. That's how we learn.
Yep.
So having that attitude as well that we haven't been applying with your kids, it teaches them grace and forgiveness. And again, the constructive consequences too with the communication is always reminding them you're being punished because of the behavior, not because of who you are. You're not the behavior. You're not the mistake. You're just acting this way, but this is not who you are.
Hmm. Yeah. And so for us, when our children were younger, we chose the method of timeouts for our kids, which was really effective when they were younger. And we were really intentional, again, both in setting clear expectations ahead of time, but then when we would send one of our children to time out, when that time was over, we were very consistent about setting an alarm that had a number of minutes equal to their age. So if there were two, they set in time out for 2 minutes. If they were four, they set in time out for 4 minutes. And when that time was up, we would have a conversation with them. We would get down to their level, down on our knees or, you know, squatting down so we're eye to eye with them. And we would ask them, why were you in timeout?
But before we put them in timeout, when they sat down, we would tell them, you're in timeout because you behave this way. So think about it. And then when we came back.
Yep. And when we came back, we would ask them, why were you in timeout? And they would have to tell us mm-hmm. what actions led to this consequence of missing out on that time for having fun. And then we would have a conversation about what would have been the right behavior versus the behavior that they chose.
How can you do
restate
better?
Restate our expectations mm-hmm. for them going forward. In these types of situations, this is the behavior that we expect from you.
Yes.
And that worked for our kids. Now that they're older, timeout doesn't really work. What works is what you've been talking about, which is our children have a lot of privileges in life, including things like having tablets or TV time or getting to go outside and play with their friends or you know, all these different things that they enjoy doing. These are privileges that they enjoy. And when they act outside of our set of parameters and expected behaviors, then they lose those privileges.
The timeout still works for Zoe. For Noah, doesn't work the same way. Like, that's why you need to know your children and what works or not for them. But another point I wanted to make is training your kids to sit down and time out. I remember people would look at us and say, how do you make your kids sit still? I'm going to tell you, if you have little kids, you're training them. The first times, you might have to sit them in the same spot over 100 times. That's why we said before, like, choosing this way of parenting and discipline, it takes a lot more work. So making them sit down and sit still and understand that you're the one in control, and with loving and caring, you're not hitting them, like you're not pushing them, you're not hurting them, you're just putting them sitting down back in the chair, or whatever place you chose to do a timeout. And then you always use the same place for timeout, and they learn that that's where they go and that's where they sit. And that's where they need to sit still for the time that you have them there and you come back and get them. So just understand that there is a training, even with the discipline, there's a training. And like I mentioned in this podcast before, like when you think you got it, like we got this, this is working, then they grow and then they change. And then you have to find different ways that will work for them. But there's always a way that's going to touch something that's really important for them, that is a privilege, that you can work through it to discipline them by taking those privileges away. So let's do a little bit of the review here. What are the things we talked about today and what the applications, James?
Again, I think the most important thing that we want our listeners to take away from this is, number one is the importance of consistency in discipline. So we talked in the beginning that effective discipline is about consistency, clarity, you know, communicating your expectations very clearly with your kids, having predefined and consistently administered consequences mm-hmm. for behavior, both positive and negative, where you're rewarding, recognizing the good behaviors while also correcting the bad behaviors. And then finally, compassion, showing your kids grace through discipline and through corrective action at times is really important. And I think one of the main takeaways is this thought that we never want to discipline out of anger. There needs to be a lesson behind the correction.
Yes, that's good. A lesson behind the correction. Make it clear to your children. I tell my kids all the time, I'm your parent. And when they get upset that I'm disciplining them, and I say, I'm my parent. And because I love you, I need to help you to learn a lesson in this situation so you can grow up and be a good person.
Yeah. The tactics you use for that, again, there are a lot of different modes out there. There's a lot of different philosophies on what works, what doesn't work. That's really going to be dependent upon each person, what they're comfortable with, and what works for them. But we've shared some of what works for us and our kids, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the method that's going to work for you and your kids. But again, what's important is consistency, being clear about your expectations, being clear about what the consequences are, and consistently administering those and showing your kids compassion through that and always letting there be a lesson behind the correction. Okay, so with that, we'll leave you and hope that you've gained something from this episode. Hope that this helps you to think a little bit more deeply and more intentionally about how you're disciplining your own children and how you're communicating through that with them to correct their behaviors over time.
Yes, that's awesome. So I want to leave you with Galatians 6:9, what it says. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Don't give up on your children. Love them, discipline them, correct them, and support them, cheer them up. They need you. They love you. And God has entrusted you to be their parents because you are a good parent. Be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
God bless. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.